Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. And I just have my wee book of Acts with me tonight. I had notes and different things, but I just think I'll bring this. And we read again from chapter 3 of the book of Acts. And you may be seated, praise God, and we're going to just read some verses. I don't know how many verses I'll read. Let us pray first, the Lord will help us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious word of truth. For you know that your word is a lamp on our feet and a light on our path. We just thank you for the word of God. We thank you for freedom, that we can come here tonight to worship you and praise you. And Lord, we do come. We do thank you for your mercy and thank you for grace, even as already as our brothers prayed tonight. Lord, we do come against every foul spirit tonight. Every spirit of divination and divination we bind in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that it's a night called Halloween for the call up the devils. But Lord, we've come tonight to call up the Holy Ghost. To ask that you'll come down, that you'll come on the scene. And we're asking for the Holy Spirit to be in our midst tonight. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to speak to us from your word tonight. And we're saying, come Holy Spirit, we need thee. Come Holy Spirit, we pray. Come on thy strength and thy power. Come on thine own special way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, cleanse us from every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Pray, Lord, for the family of this man, Jim, tonight, that you'll comfort them at this time, that you'll bless them. Lord, that you'll just be helping with this time of bereavement, in Jesus Christ's name. Pray for Samuel Feeney's family tonight as well, Lord, at the passing of our brother Samuel, that you bless his wife, that you bless Sister Barbara and all the family, all his sons and his daughters, and all that's near and dear tonight, that you bless them, and you'll comfort them in this time, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, stir our hearts afresh tonight. We know we're living in wicked times and evil times. Amen. But we thank you that you've never changed. You're the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. You said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. So we're looking to you for your help tonight, for your anointing, for your quickening. The power of God will come and drive back every work of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I forgot to mention it, but I'm not sure if many here would know Samuel Fields. But I used to go and preach for Samuel Fields. Brother Brian hadn't preached for Samuel Fields for a long time, and then Samuel invited him about a year ago. And there wasn't many there, but he said that good meetings. And Brother Andrew, Samuel Fields asked me about, maybe it's 10 years ago, a few years ago, and he said to me, Brother Tommy, you'd have to know Samuel, he was hard to understand because he had Parkinson's disease. And he said to me, Brother Tom, where would I get a good preacher over here in England? And I told him, Brother Andrew Beecham. And after that, he got Brother Andrew, and Andrew used to go and preach for him quite regular up at Samuel Fields, but he's passed away. And I'm not sure, he'd be in his 60s, I'm sure. And son came here, quite a big fella. You remember he preached here once about the liver, preached on the liver. Derek Fields, that's him, that's his son, Derek Fields. And Derek's his son. Derek's wife was originally from America, and Derek moved back to America. Samuel Fields' wife, believe it or not, she was originally from America as well. But she moved over to England, and they lived in England. And he's quite a big family, but I'm sure they'll miss him tonight. But I'll tell you, even though in his condition he was faithful, he had a vision for souls, he wanted to do outreaches. He wanted to buy me a tent one time, it's a long time back. He used to invite me to come and hold meetings and everything. And at the ministers' meetings, really had all the men there. He was a man that wanted to see people saved. He had a vision to see people saved. And that encouraged me, you know, when I met him, what he had that attitude. And we just know the Lord will bless the family tonight, praise God. Let's just turn to Acts chapter 3, and I don't want to be too long tonight. I want us really to pray tonight. You know, I was reading a bit about, started looking a bit about Halloween. Halloween, you know, it was from the Druids. And it was actually in Scotland where they used to pray and try and summon up the spirits of 12 dead people at Halloween. And then the Church of Rome hijacked it and they called it a Christian thing, but I'll tell you, it's not Christian. And people do things this time of the year and they don't realise it, but they're calling up devils. But it's a good opportunity for us to ask the Holy Spirit to move in it. Praise God. You see, the world would ridicule us for, you know, serving God. But they're doing things and they don't even know they're doing it, and they're worshipping the devil. And that's the truth of it. But we're glad tonight we can come to God's word. Let's look at verse 1 then, and I'm going to read a few verses tonight. Chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. The same Peter and John about to go into the temple asked alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look ye so earnestly in us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And you know, I was reading this and looking at this, and this word restitution stuck out for me. Restitution. And restitution means when something's restored back to you. And you know, the old Methodists used to talk about restitution. If you stole something off somebody, you must give them it back. And God is saying here, these men's preaching, that Jesus will come after there's been a complete restitution of all things. Look at it, when the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. And Matthew 17:11, Jesus himself preaching. Verse 10 before it, Jesus says, In last shall first come and restore all things. Then verse 11, he says, Alas, you know the scriptures, Matthew 17:11. Alas, shall first come and restore all things. Verse 11, verse 12, he says, Alas, has come
and you received it not. And so in the days of Jesus, Elijah and the Spirit, John and the Spirit of Elijah forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ. We know that the Spirit of Elijah has come in the 20th century to forerun the second coming of Christ. And God is bringing in a restitution of all things. But I don't just go with it where a lot of people preach, and I want to say this tonight. If you don't agree with us, it's fine. This is my thinking on it. A lot of people preach it just on that part of it and they leave it at that. I don't believe that. Because in Acts 1 verse 6, and I preached it a few weeks ago, when they said, when will these things be? When you'll do all this restoring? And Jesus told them not to worry about it. You remember I mentioned the other week?
Amen.
So Acts 1 verse 6, and this restitution is not just the Gentiles, but this has to be a restitution of Israel as well. And there has to be a restitution of Israel. And then Brother Branham says, when Israel come back, they're going to come back. Now remember, 1906, God sent Azusa Street. That was Azusa Street. That was the restoration of the gifts. And Azusa Street was a wee man, a coloured man. His parents were slaves. And he himself, a lot of places didn't want him. Churches, when he first started preaching, he went to a certain college to learn, and you know, the Bible and things, and they wouldn't let him in the room. You read the history of it. They made him sit outside and hear the lecture from outside. They wouldn't even let him in the classroom because he's a coloured man. But God had moved on him. God had called him. And because he was so persecuted, he believed the Lord would come. And he began to pray, and they prayed in the house, and it got so many people in the house, they moved down till where they had the revival in Azusa Street. And it says that they prayed for hours. And people going by would hear the noises and the groanings and the moanings. And they said the people even swayed back and forth as they prayed. And they were known to pray for 4 hours. 4 hours praying, solid, moaning and groaning and going back and forth. That's the Bible. Groaning with utterance. You know, the Bible talks about that. And he was a Baptist, but he came away from that. He came through all the he believed in holiness, and then he came on from holiness to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, the Azusa Street was a move of God. Not only was it a move of God, but it was solid revival for 9 years. You can read the history of it. 9 years solid revival. And that revival started in 1906, and William Branham was born in 1909. And I believe 1946, the angel comes to William Branham and appears to William Branham. And what's the angel say to William Branham? He didn't say to William Branham, I'm going to give you a message.
No.
That will form a group called the Message Churches. And they will become an organization and they'll worship you. That's not what the angel said. The angel said to William Branham, I'm going to give you a gift of healing.
Yes.
To take to the nations. And you will come before kings and monarchs. That's what the commission was originally to Brother Branham in 1946 for the angel of the Lord. And Brother Branham had that ministry, and God used him, and revival came in as well. And we know that's what happened. But it organized. I mean, not the man himself, but it's organized today. There's no other way around it. It's organized. And if you don't see it this way and some other way, you'll not make a rapture. And all this nonsense is preached. It's all nonsense. Don't believe any of it. I believe the message is right that the prophet sent. I believe it's from God. But I don't believe the nonsense that's about today. And God has to do something again. I believe that tonight. Something has to happen. 1906, and God sent Azusa Street. 1946, God sends an angel. This is now 2018. And you think of it when you read this in the book of Acts. In verse 21, a restoration of all things. And then Jesus himself preaching in Matthew 17. Jews will rebuild the temple. They'll rebuild the temple. They bred the red heifer. They've all the things back in place to rebuild that temple, to have the worship they used to have. And they're going to cry out to God. Now, we know there's going to be a pact made and all the rest of them things. But Brother Branham says when they rebuild that temple, the rapture will go. The catching up will take place. It's all connected. It's all the scripture here, you know. And this verse 21, a restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all its holy prophets since the world began. And not only is this a restitution, this is more than just in our time. It's more than just a Malachi message. I believe this is even more. I believe it's as much as where we're going to be changed. And we're going to live and reign in the earth with God for 1,000 years. Like Adam and Eve, what they had, we'll have that. A complete restoration of all things. How many believes that tonight? God's going to do it. But I believe we need to be praying for the power of God. I tell you what, when we said, I said, all the preachers said, this is to turn us back to the book of Acts. But let's be honest about it. There's not much that looks like the book of Acts today. I'll tell you, these men and women are the power of God. And you know what, I believe this, I'm going to say this. When William Branham came and you, so many people used the quotes where he talked about the Pentecostals in a negative way. But you have to understand and read what he's saying. He's talking about the stuff that's fanaticism, what's over the top. And he hit against it. Now the whole thing's went complete circle of people choosing that by the way they've thrown it all out. I believe there has to be a balance. We need the power of Pentecost. I was talking to an old Christian man today. I haven't seen him for a while. I've seen him today. And when he got by himself, and me and him were talking about it. And he's the type of a man, he's always on the move. You never get 5 minutes to talk to him. But he told me, he says, he remembers, he was a farmer, this man. Pentecostal man, an evil man all his life. He said he remembers where he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, Thomas, not far from here, in an orchard. And he says, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I couldn't talk one word in English for a whole day. No English for a day. And he said there was a pillar of fire come right down on him. A physical, literal pillar of fire that he could see, and a fire, a ball of fire. And he said it come right on him, and the heat of it, he literally felt the heat in his back and went through his whole body. And he says for 3 days he spoke in languages. He believes their languages. Not just, you know, someone that nobody knew. He believes languages for 3 solid days. And he said he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He agreed with me. He said he doesn't believe tongues is the evidence. But he believes if you seek God enough, you can speak in tongues all right. The only thing, you can never divorce from the Bible or from history what God's done. You can't do it. And tongues is there. And in Susan Street, tongues is there. And William Branham says himself, he spoke in tongues. And there's a quote where he says that the last day church should be like the first day church. A tongue-talking Holy Ghost church. I tell you something, we need the gifts of tongues tonight. We need the gifts of prophecy. We need the gifts for praying for all the nine gifts of spirit. Have any believe that? We need all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How can we say we believe in a restoration ministry? How can we say we're turned back if we deny the gifts of the Spirit? Because the restoration of the gifts is part of the restitution that God's talking about. The restitution will have to be a fivefold ministry, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and everything all together. And then the prophet of God says, all them loose ends on water baptism on the Godhead, God brings it all together in one complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed and made known. That's what God's done. But I'm going to tell you one thing about that man, what he told me. He says, Tom, I'm not fit to pray like I used to. He says, I only get up at 6 o'clock now in the morning. It gives me about 2 hours to pray. And this is serious. He wouldn't mention it when there's another fellow with me. He would never mention a thing when he's near me. He only would tell me these things when there's just me and him. He says, I'm not saying about it to boast or anything. It's nothing to do with that. But he believes the same as me. That's the problem of the day. And I'm going to go further than what he said, and Brother Brad Freeborn mentioned it as well. People are listening, preaching, and the pastor in the churches is telling them that you can't pray like you used to and you don't need to. And a lot of churches don't have prayer meetings. They say we don't need prayer meetings. I tell you tonight, if ever we were living in a time when we needed to pray, it's today. If anybody believes that? We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to seek the face of God. We need to take time to pray. Whether it's in the morning or the evening or whatever time it is, maybe everybody can't do it like that. I'm not saying that, but I believe we need to pray. And maybe, you know, it'd be hard to go down and pray for a length of time, but even if you pray for a short time, but pray regular. But it's good to pray. Brian Freeborn, and those of us that stand with Brother Brian, know Brian Freeborn spends an hour every single morning before he does anything, praying. Every morning. Every single morning. He said he's done it for years. I'll tell you another man that used to do it. I hear people talking about this man, and the men that talked about him never did what I've seen him do, John Noble. John Noble used to spend long times praying every morning right there in his house. Every morning he'd be up before anybody was up praying. And I tell you, God's men should be praying and God's children should be praying. And there's only one way we're going to see anything done, that's by prayer. We'll not see it no other way, it won't happen. I'm telling these men here, we're reading in chapter 3, and we're reading this account, the power of God was with these men. When they took the name of Jesus, it wasn't just the name flippantly, but the power of God was with it, the power of God was upon it, crippled were healed, lame were made to walk. When the spoken had happened, the heart suffered, then suffered with them. Not with the power of God that with them. But you know where they received it. In the upper room. That's where they got it. But they had to wait upon God for the power of God. And after this, as you continue to read through this, there's other times where they took seasons of waiting again. And they're refilled, you know that. Amen. You can be refilled, you know. All of us need refilled. Amen. I tell you, it's the truth. But I believe God's given us all the tools, you know, but we need to pray. We need to pray. It's the truth, I'm telling you. You could have set out sermons, and you could have nice read sermons, and it's nothing wrong with it. You can spend hours. I've done it. I know what I'm preaching about. And you could have looked into this and looked into that, and have all nice sermons and all the rest of it. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't do something with it, it's dead. I'm telling you, it takes the power of God to come on, the anointing. And that's what that old man was saying to me today. He says, you need the Spirit. He said, there's nothing to touch Pentecost. Now this man's near 80 years of age. Lifetime of experience, he said, there's nothing to touch the Pentecostal experience. Power of God. And he says, this modern stuff that's coming into the churches now, rock and roll and all this nonsense. And he says, some of the young ones that's coming in, and he says, I've never experienced what them old ones experienced. They don't know what they're talking about. It's the truth. We need to experience the power of God. Yeah. And you know what Brother Brian said, when God takes one, where's the ones coming up? There'll only be people coming up if they get the real experience what them ones what went before get. That has to be the same Holy Ghost experience. We need the power of God. A hungering and a thirsting after God, where you can't get enough meetings. Yes. Do you remember the day when you couldn't get enough meetings? I'm telling you, I used to go to 2 Bible studies a week, 2 or 3 prayer meetings a week, 2 services on a Sunday. I used to go till, and then a late night, Sunday night service after church. And done that regular. Lots of others here did it as well. Couldn't get enough church. Didn't care if you stayed up the whole night. What about it? But the day, I'm telling you, someone, people, you could hardly get them to service. We need to be praying that God will move on his own people. These people were in one accord. These people had the same thing in faith. Jesus was the thing they were talking about. That's the problem today. People are not all in one accord. People's always not about Jesus. There's people building their own wee kingdoms. They're not preaching Christ. No. These men are preaching Christ. Yes. Preach the name of Jesus. No. Look at verse 32. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now here's a verse here that people took out, right, and they said that's the dead. They preach from this saying, that's it. I'm telling you tonight, this scripture's about Jesus Christ. That's what this scripture's about. This is the man that the book of Hebrews says, lo, it is written of me that thou comest in the volume of a book to do thy will, O God. You take away the first to establish the second, which is the New Testament. This is about Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the man that you have to hear in all things. This is him. Amen. And this here, we read the verse previous. This was all the prophets pointed to. Yes. Past and future point to. Mm-hmm. Let's read it again. The restitution of all things God has spoken by the mouth of all its holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall he hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now do you have to put, if you put another man's name in here, yes, and say you have to believe on him, there's no scripture for that doctrine. But I can put the name of Jesus in here and prove it from the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible says there's no other name, amen, given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. This is speaking about the Lord. Amen. This is a man we're commissioned to preach about, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold to these days, all pointing to the Lord. Ye are the children of the prophets under the covenant which men with their fathers sang unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, unto you first God in heaven raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Look at chapter 4. And as they speak unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, yep, the resurrection from the dead. Yes. If you want to get in trouble, preach Jesus. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm telling you from experience, if you want to get in trouble, preach Jesus. Amen. You can have all the wee sayings all you want, and you can learn the codes. Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? You can learn the phrases. You can learn the phrases and go amongst them. And they'll pat you in the back and shake your hand. But if you preach Jesus, it's a different story. You can send the devils through a prayer line, and they'll all pray for them, and the devil will go straight on through. But you send them through once where 30 men of God's anointed with the Holy Ghost, they'll not get through the first man. They'll scream out in terror. That's the difference. That's the book of Acts. There's a big difference. Now we believe God has done something, but we want to have what God's done, the real thing. Why have someone that's a fake when you can have the real Holy Ghost? Praise God. Look at this. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold on to the next day, for it was eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. There's a move of God for you. Praise God. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexandra and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "What, by what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, oh glory to God, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, 3. This is the name. This is the man the Bible's talking about. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'll tell you something, it doesn't matter what you know. It's who you know. Amen. William Branham said, I might not know all the Bible, but I know the author. That's what he said. And know the author well. And these men here, they certainly knew the author. And I tell you, we need to know the author. And the best way to know him is talk to him often. Prayer. Praise God. Oh, that's wonderful. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us strictly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, will it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. I tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll know about it. Amen. You'll talk about it. You can't help it. Amen. It's not wonderful. Amen. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all them men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For all for truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both heard. Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. So I tell you, they get filled on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says they get filled again. Baptized on the day of Pentecost. How many knows you can't get... You hear people talking about get baptized. When you get baptized, you get filled. How many believes that? Certainly you do. But God can fill you again. Amen. How many wants filled again? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of God. We need it. If ever we needed it, we need it today. To stand for God, to preach the word of God. Amen. With great power, the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I'll tell you, the best thing that happened to them was persecution. Now I know that's strange, but that's the Bible. When they were persecuted, that's when God moved. Praise God. Look at the times flying. Brother Andrew, I might tell you, Brother Andrew Moraes come back from Russia. And he says the only way he could describe it was from the very start to the finish, God's hand was on it all. But you remember how they were persecuted over there? And there were, how many remembers about that? What they were initially in the Orthodox, the mainstream. They're going to try and close everybody down. And I'm telling you, there's countries today for God's moving. Don't think God's not moving. There's places in the world today for God is moving. Persecution sometimes brings about a move of God because the people get hungry. Now I'm going to read the rest of this chapter and then we'll come and pray. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of all things that were sold and led them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to what he had need of. I'll tell you something, that's a big difference from the day, isn't it? I know people, I know one man, he's a millionaire, and I'm telling you, to support the work of God, could do it, but does nothing about it. But could do it. You can't rely on man, sure you can, but you can rely on God. Amen. But I tell you, they were more interested in the things of heaven than the things of earth. I'll tell you, God had touched these men. And verse 36, and Joas, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, I tell you, I heard a great sermon preached about him once. Barnabas means son of consolation. Tremendous message, I remembered years ago, which has been interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it and brought the money and led it to the apostles' feet. These fellas weren't mucking about. There's no messing about here. This is the book of Acts. I tell you, these men had a vision to do something for God. We need to have a vision. And the vision needs to start with prayer. Praying. We need to pray. We need to come to prayer meeting. We need to pray. We need to pray in every meeting. I tell you something, I'm going to say this tonight. It would do no harm to have hardly any preaching for a month of just praying. I believe that. You can preach too much. Look how much preaching there's been for years. But you can never pray too much. William Branham said that you can do too much preaching and talking and even too much singing. It's good to sing, but you can't outdo the praying. Praying, we need to pray. We need to be a people that prays. That God will move. That God will help us to reach out to a lost and dying world. And maybe this generation's harder. You can look at all the different things and all the excuses, but God's still the same. And you look, 1906, God sent Azusa Street. That's 112 years ago. 112 years ago. And William Branham was commissioned by an angel in 1946. That's over 70 years ago as well. We need to be seeking God, that God will move in our generation. There's young ones being born, they've never heard of these things. They need to experience the same power of God, the same Holy Ghost. Let's come and pray tonight.